Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, ESPN college football writer Adam Rittenberg joins us this morning. Good morning, Adam. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
You had a tweet on October 21st that said, if Oregon runs the table with the Pac-12 title game win over Utah, the Ducks either should be in the playoff or would be a great example of why the system needs to expand beyond four. Pac-12 has more depth than the ACC and much more than the Big 12. I'm sure you got a lot of follows out of around Eugene, Portland area after that tweet. Did you?
Well, yeah. Certainly Oregon fans were excited about that. But again, it just is a team that as I look at more and more, would at least, I think it's going to be more the latter, unfortunately, unless things do shake up in leagues like the SEC or if Oklahoma loses a game. But I do just think there's a lot there. There's a team that, went out and scheduled somebody. A lot of teams don't do that. They lost that game, the opener in the final minute. And then they would, in this case, go on and sweep the rest of their schedule. I just think it's not fair that that team wouldn't have an opportunity to at least play for a national championship. I'm not saying that they would win one or even advance, but I think it kind of goes against some of the things that we want to see in this sport, which are conference championships mattering, scheduling mattering, having great games early in the season. Because really, if Oregon does what I'm saying that they could do, and again, everything has to work out right for them, including, I think, Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. But if they do that, you're basically saying don't play Auburn. You're basically saying play UNLV, play Colorado State, play an easy game, and go undefeated because otherwise you're not getting in. And I have a lot of issues with the current system and the lack of access it provides and the large portions of the country that it cuts out. So Oregon's kind of the perfect example of that this year, potentially.
Adam, staying along those lines with college football playoff, I'm going to give you a scenario, and I mentioned it yesterday. If this situation can happen with Tua hurt, let's give you this scenario. He's hurt. They play LSU. LSU beats them without Tua. Now you get Ohio State to win out. Clemson wins out. Oklahoma wins out. Oregon wins out. You mean to tell me that the committee's not going to say, well, I mean, LSU, you beat them without Tua. We're going to give you another shot and put you in because they already put him in when they weren't a conference champ and they won the big dance anyway. Can you see something like that in this scenario happening where Alabama gets a second shot?
You're saying LSU would then not win the SEC somehow?
LSU wins the SEC. Alabama goes 11-1, and then now you get two SEC teams in again.
Okay, well then someone else would have to lose, either Clemson, Ohio State, or Oklahoma, because then you got five. But yeah, I think if it's a debate over an Oregon versus a one-loss Alabama, that would be fascinating, and it would underscore a lot of the issues that some of the commissioners not in the SEC have about the playoff structure right now, because Alabama would not have the non-conference strength of schedule like Oregon does with the Auburn game on there. They obviously would beat Auburn in this scenario, and Oregon didn't, but they wouldn't have challenged themselves outside the conference. Oregon would have a division title. Oregon would have a conference title. And so what they would be saying is, that doesn't matter. We still think Alabama is unequivocally better than Oregon. And I think that would, again, cause a lot of angst among, not just the Pac-12 folks, but around the country. Hey, we got into this thing because you said conference championships mattered. We got into this thing because you wanted to see us play better games out of the conference. Alabama didn't really do that. We did. We won a conference. They didn't. Why are they getting in? So that would be the scenario. Now, if it's LSU and three undefeated, then, everybody's out of luck at that point. But if it's LSU and let's say Ohio State and Oklahoma, and let's say Clemson loses a game, and even in that scenario, if you put Alabama in over, let's say, a one-loss Clemson ACC champion and a one-loss Oregon Pac-12 champion, to me, that's taking a massive step towards an 8-team playoff.
Adam Rittenberg is our guest. You can find him on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg, covers college football for ESPN. You know, a lot is being made this week and over the next couple of weeks with that looming matchup between Bama and LSU about How much will the committee weigh Tua not playing for Alabama in that game if they were to lose and if he does not play? I have a question along the lines of Oregon, though, in that is that a conversation that the committee will only take for like a quarterback? Or in 2014, they took Oregon's loss to Arizona into account with Jake Fisher, the tackle, being out. Will they take into account maybe Oregon having four of its projected leading receivers out for the Auburn game? Or is it more, you think they'll just look at the quarterback position or a position of more importance like the left tackle?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I would imagine, especially with, and I know he can't be involved in the discussions, but especially with Rob Mullins being in the room and being around those people, there's an education on what the circumstances were around that first game. I also think it's the first game. I just hate the idea of a team getting punished for a performance in game one at a neutral site. It just doesn't sit well with me. But you're right. That was part of the game. Now, some in the room might say, you know what? Oregon still controlled the game. They blew it. It was on them to win, and they didn't get it done. And to a degree, I understand that, because that's all true as well, in spite of those injuries. But I do think that has to be part of the discussion. I mean, when you do those mock playoff simulations like I've done and like many other media members have done, you know, it is very comprehensive in terms of the data, in terms of the discussion, and in terms of all the factors, including who's healthy and who's not. So I think that will be part of the discussion, as will obviously Tua's status in the Alabama-LSU game if LSU indeed wins.
You know, you said that it's very comprehensive. What if it's something, I know that they do the big mock, the mock college football committee thing. What is one of the things that surprised you the most coming out of those mock selections?
Well, you feel better about the decision-making process just because of the amount of data that is presented and it's how easily accessed. And you can really compare teams in I think comprehensive ways as far as you know, who they've played and the, you know, the performances in those games and what really stands out. I mean, it's a hard sport, guys, right? Because you have different conferences with different scheduling philosophies, and there's very few of these games where you can kind of compare apples to apples. And so it's a hard process to get to four. That's why I think it would be a massively easier process if it was eight. But, you know, it is four. And I think, you know, in that context, there is, I think, a good amount of discussion and certainly more than enough data to at least have robust debate over who should belong and who should be left out.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. The uniformity of college football, it's so dysfunctional and not understand. It's so subjective when it comes to this voting. So along those lines, when you look at Clemson, are you one of those guys that says, because you're the defending champ, you deserve X? Because without the eyeball test, and you look at Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts and you're looking at Ohio State, are you along those lines? I don't know other media members or other thought processes. You can use your eyes. There are teams that are better than Clemson, and there's conferences that are head and shoulders better than the ACC.
Well, all you need to know is that you know, we do top fours after every week of games, and Clemson hasn't been in mind for several weeks. So, you know, again, I still think they're a very talented team. I have great respect for their coaches and their players, but they have to show more to belong, or they need help, in my mind, to get into that top four. I mean, my top four right now is LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Oklahoma 4. And that could obviously change depending on you know, the results this weekend, and it will change going forward. But, you know, Clemson, to me, has zero margin for error. So they're in the same category right now. You know, Oregon can't lose a second game. Notre Dame can't lose a second game. You know, Georgia, they I don't think they can lose a second game, especially because of how poorly they performed the last couple of weeks. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating because of what you said, though. Do they get that benefit of the doubt like Alabama has gotten from the committee, even though they don't want to admit it? Alabama has had a mystique factor with the committee over the years where they've been ranked, I think in many people's opinions, higher than they should be, because there's just a belief that they are still better than everybody else. I don't know if Clemson's going to hold that this year. It's going to be really interesting to see the first sets of rankings, you know, if nothing really changes in terms of the top teams, because other teams have just looked more impressive. I've seen Ohio State twice live. They've been awesome. You know, LSU has been the most impressive team in the country to me. I saw Oklahoma against Texas. Not the most impressive performance by the Sooners, but their overall profile, you can't ignore that as well.
You know, uniform scheduling is something that you mentioned and is a big problem in college football. Scott Strickland, the Florida AD, where do you sit on this little rivalry he has with Iowa State's AD, where he said, we'll schedule anybody for a home and home, and then Iowa State's AD fires back with it. We already play 9 conference games plus a crossover rivalry game with Iowa every year. Where do you sit in that one? Because it does seem like the SEC kind of trolls people with, we'll play you, but that is just your 9th Power 5 game that you have every year.
Well, no, I actually commend Scott, because, I mean, I think it's not the typical SEC position. Most of them say, yeah, we got our 8 league games and maybe our 1 out-of-conference rival, and that's it. You know, in this case, in Florida's case, they're still playing Florida State every year. So they're at 9 Power 5 games right now, and they're seeking a 10th. So that's encouraging. What I'd love to see, if the ACC and the SEC don't want to go to 9 conference games, then the playoff committee says, to qualify for us as a Power 5 team, you have to play 10 Power 5 opponents. We don't care how you get there, whether it's 8 league games and 2 out of conference, or 9 league games and 1 out of conference. But at least Florida is taking that and saying, we want to do that. We want to play 10 Power 5 opponents. I wish that was the case throughout the SEC. And you know, it's funny, you know, Jamie, there are different places, and I like Jamie Pollard, but Iowa State's not making the playoff. Florida is in that mix every year. And it's exciting to see the teams like Texas and Utah and others pop up on their schedule. And, you know, he had a little back and forth with Dan Radakovic from Clemson. How great would it be to see Florida and Clemson play a home and home series? These are games that benefit fans. It gets back to my Oregon point. Why do you have a system that's discouraging good games? Right. You know, when we wait all year for this sport, and it flies by, and it's the shortest season of any sport, and you want us not to have we should want Auburn, Oregon. Every team should play games like that. And so, and ideally on campus sites instead of the neutral site. Like that's what makes the sport great. So, you know, and just imagine if it was an 8-team system. And I've come around to the idea of an 8-team system with automatic bids for the Power 5. But imagine if that was the case, and how many teams would still have the playoff as a possibility for them right now. Utah, which didn't show up in L.A. I was at the game. Didn't look like Utah at all. They still have the opportunity. You know, Washington would still have a small opportunity, or USC would still. It just would bring so many more teams and leagues into this race, where right now we're basically talking about the SEC, and we're talking about the Big Ten, and we're talking about whether Clemson can ride out an easy schedule and Oklahoma can ride out a relatively easy schedule.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN college football writer, and if you go to his Twitter feed, at ESPN Rittenberg, pinned to the top is an article you have on Keenan Lowe and his heroics, the former Duck receiver at Park Rose High School. Great story worth checking out, especially with the update to the footage that was released this past week. Really appreciate the time, man. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Thanks, Adam.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
All right, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN college football writer. It's been a-
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.